Welcome to worship today, and welcome visitors. So we are preaching. I'm not just preaching to the choir today. That's good. And on this day, and hopefully some parking was available somewhere out there. But hopefully my voice will last through the service. I normally do not sound like Kermit. So, it is good to have you here this third Sunday of Advent, and I trust that all is well with you, and thank you, brave souls, for coming through this nasty weather. And so the lighting of the third Advent candle, Joy, Chris and Claire will come this morning. You should all have Let us stand and call one another to holy worship. From Psalm 146, God sets the prisoners free and opens the eyes of those who cannot see. Our sovereign God will rule forever. Praise be to God. Hymn number 55.
rejoice, you pure in heart. Lift praises to the sky. Your festal banner wave with joy. The cross of Christ raise high. Rejoice, rejoice. Joyce, give thanks and sing. Bright youth and seasoned age, strong souls and spirits meet. Raise high your free exulting song. Wondrous praises speak. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. With voice as full and strong as ocean surging praise, sing forth the hymns the saints have up. Psalms of ancient days. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Yes, on through life's long path, still chanting as you go. From youth to age, by night and day, in gladness and in woe. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Sun through the worlds, the risen Christ adore. Praise God the Spirit, God forevermore. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
I invite you now to a time of silent prayer. Bring whatever is on your heart before God. Open your heart to a loving God. If you wish to do so, you can focus your thoughts on what God has called you to be as we continue on our journey through Advent and the person you are called to be. So let us come before God first silently and then together as a congregation. So let us pray. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Let us continue in prayer as a congregation. God of all mercies, forgive us for our failures to live as you would have us to live. Forgive us for not hearing your call to true life as the gift it truly is. Heal us to grasp the joy that is offered through your graciousness toward us. Heal us, help us to see, help us to walk, and free us from all that besets us. May we walk in your light during this Advent season and always. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. We are a holy and forgiven people. We can be forgiving, and we are called also to joy. So let us receive God's good news. Glory to God, the Creator, and to the Christ, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. If you are new, feel free to walk around with the rest of us. Is someone going to do the scripture reading today? Scheduled for that? Does someone want to do the scripture reading? Arthur? All right. I love it. Visitors, come on up. It's written right here in the bulletin, so you're in good shape. So, this is Arthur visiting today.
Daniel.
Daniel.
Yeah. I don't know. That's
where
okay.
Did I get Arthur from?
I don't know. That's nice, though.
I can sorry.
Be well, I didn't get to preview this, so forgive me if I stumble on anything. Today's lesson is from the fifth chapter of James, verses 7 through 10. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Today's lesson. Today's second scripture lesson is taken from the 11th chapter of Matthew, and verses 2 through 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in the royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Thank you, Daniel. His friends call him Arthur, though. So, but thank you so very much for stepping into the breach here. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Transform us as you see fit. Amen. Preparing this sermon, we don't have a bad crowd here, actually, do we? This is amazing. I thought we'd have like five people here today. So give yourself a pat on the back or whatever. And we had a great time last night. There was a bunch of us went over to Jenny and Josh's place and had a nice time. And so thanks for all the fellowship and hospitality we had last night. As we get to this scripture this morning, I want to focus on the scripture from John, about John the Baptist in Matthew. And I wanted to ask, why did John ask Jesus this question? I don't know if you've studied this passage at all, but it's kind of a strange question because John has already baptized Jesus and proclaimed him and given him, you know, John seems to know full well that who Jesus is. And this strange question, are you the one who is to come, or shall we wait for another? Are you the one who is to come, or shall we wait for another? And commentators are like, why in the world would John ask this? John is in prison at this point, imprisoned by King Herod, and who knows exactly what is going on, but there's been like three options here we can think about, and maybe all are true. One reason is that maybe John sent his disciples to Jesus so that they would start following Jesus, that John was doing something of a handoff. He was saying, okay, I am decreasing, Jesus is increasing. He wanted his own disciples to look to Jesus. And so he sent two of his disciples to Jesus to hear Jesus' response and be a witness to the rest who are following John the Baptist. So in this case, John knows who Jesus is. He is just trying to convince his own disciples of who Jesus is. And Jesus' answers is interesting. His actions that he says, this is what I'm doing. This is what you've seen. These are all references pretty much from Isaiah. And it's the notion of the Messiah that is given by Isaiah. And it's a notion of the Messiah that John's disciples that had been with him by the River Jordan would have recognized. So that's one way of saying this. John was just doing a handoff. The second one that's considered is that John has his own doubts about Jesus, and maybe John wants Jesus to reassure him. John is saying, my mission is complete. I've prepared the way. I think Herod's going to kill me. I'm in prison. Am I done with my mission? Are you the one that I've been doing this preparation for? So maybe John was expressing some doubts or wondering. As I pondered this some more, the third option became more real to me. The third option is that John knows who Jesus is, but is somehow challenging him, challenging Jesus to claim his calling. Live up to your calling. I want to know, are you living up to your calling? What are you doing? Are you going to walk the walk? Maybe Jesus had heard that John the Baptist was in prison, and of course he did, and maybe John was worried that Jesus was going to get cold feet or weak feet. You know, we think of Jesus as the Messiah and God, he knew everything, but I want to say that the early church early on said Jesus was fully human, fully divine, that you can't discount the human tendencies that Jesus, as any of us, would have had as he saw his fate maybe tied up with John's fate. So I'm wondering if John worried that Jesus was somehow getting weak need. Now, that's a stretch. We don't like to think of Jesus as getting ever weak need, and I suspect maybe he didn't, and that Jesus had really thought this through. But am I done? Are you the one? Are you going to walk the walk? Just because I'm in prison, don't let that stop you. But shall we wait for another? Jesus responds. He lists all these things that Isaiah gave as signs. And then he says, the last piece, I think, is what makes me lean toward that third thing. Blessed is he who doesn't take offense at me. Blessed is he who doesn't take offense at me. It's a strange kind of thing to say, isn't it? And I think it's the key to this passage. Because if you take offense at me, then the opposite of blessed is your fate. But the word for offense here is scandalon. I'm doing too much teaching, but I'll get to the preaching in a minute. The word for offense here is scandalon, which is our word for scandalous, a scandal. And it's a word for stumbling block. Blessed is that person who doesn't stumble because of me or put stumbling blocks in front of me, is the maybe the more correct translation. Blessed is the person who doesn't try to stop me, because they don't know who they're dealing with. Don't mess with me. I think that last thing is Jesus saying to John that he is determined to fulfill his calling. And anyone who resists and tries to put stumbling block, I'm not backing down, I'm not weak-kneed. I love that when I thought about that. Jesus was making as his human self the claim, you know, I am going to continue forward with this. I am going to fulfill my calling. I will fulfill my calling. So that's what I got out of the passage. And this week also, as I'm flipping the channels and on the TV, I come across the end of Saving Private Ryan. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but as I'm pondering this, this movie shows up. And if you know that movie, it's this great movie. Maybe I should ask how many of you have seen it before I go into too much detail. But soldiers were sent to find Private Ryan in Normandy during World War II, and his three brothers had been killed, and the mother was devastated. And this fictionalized account, this chief of staff, George Marshall, authorizes this effort to go find Private Ryan behind German lines, because he had been paratrooped in previous to the invasion, preparing the way, if you will, for the other troops coming. In the end of the movie, Private Ryan, as they find him deep on behind German lines, he won't abandon his post. He's at a bridge there, and they're trying to defend this bridge to make sure the Germans don't blow it up. And so the soldiers sent to find him, who have gone through all this terrible journey, they decide to stay there and continue to defend and try to save Private Ryan. This horrible battle scene, if you don't have the stomach for it, don't look at it, because it's horrible battle scene stuff. The Germans are about to take the bridge at the end of this dramatic moment, and only a few soldiers are left. They've crossed the bridge. They're trying to blow it up. And Tom Hanks, playing the captain of the group who went to save Private Ryan, is dying on the bridge in this dramatic moment. He's shooting his pistol at a tank. You know, a very Hollywood kind of thing at that point. And at that moment, planes fly in, they bomb the tank, the troops show up right at the last second. But the piece I saw and was remembering as I'm this week was that as Tom Hanks, the captain, is dying there on the bridge, if you remember this scene, Private Ryan is bending down over him. And Tom Hanks says to him, "Earn this. Earn it." These were his last words as he passes away there on the bridge. And as Matt Damon, who's playing Private Ryan, stands up and he watches as this captain has passed away, and remember these words, you can tell, are just pounding in his head, if you will. The scene goes and it morphs into the old Private Ryan. An elderly Private Ryan who is visiting the grave of Captain Miller in Normandy. And as you look behind him, you see that the elderly Private Ryan has brought his family there too, and they are in the background watching him as he bends down at the grave. And you can tell he's so moved. I hope I have earned what you have all given to me. His family standing in the background. He can barely talk. I hope I have earned what you all have done for me. And he tells the gravesite that I think about what you said to me at the bridge every day. And I've tried my best to live a good life. As I thought about this scripture and about this movie, I thought, this is nice. This is claim the life you have been given. Live the kind of life that God has called you to. Of course, we serve a God who has given us the gift of life, an eternal offer of grace and infinite love. And the snows come and we just think our life is kind of ordinary, but every day is special. We have been given special gifts to share with God's creation. All of us have been given gifts. Gift of hospitality, gift of service, gift of faith, gift of teaching, whatever it is. As Christians, it might be appropriate to say we are earning what God has already given us. Never say we are earning so God will love us. We are earning what God has already given us. God encourages us not to stumble, to claim the life prepared for each of us, to walk the walk. We are asked to receive the blessing of a faithful living, for we serve an infinitely loving God who will pick us up even when we stumble. God will not let you put a stumbling block in front of his love for you, if you will. Grace is not a one-time thing. Grace is relentless. And we serve a God who will, from time to time, now and then, break into our lives in clear and amazing ways and will ultimately redeem us from our bodies of sin and death. And appropriate to this third Sunday of Advent, fill us with pure joy. The walk with God, the walk with Christ, is not an imaginary thing. It can be very real for you. Earn it. Amen. Our second hymn is number 98, Now the Day is Over.
Of your care, keep us.
Be seated. I love that line in the fourth stanza there, those who plan some evil from their sin restrain. That's a great prayer in this uncertain world we have. Now's our time for prayers of the people. I didn't say it earlier when people, I know we have some new people here, so there should be a green card in front of you. If you can fill that out, at least give us your email address. Park, maybe we'll find, someone will find a green card for you if there's not one there. But if there's anyone else, other visitors, there's Daniel, and I'm not even going to try your name because I'm going to get it wrong, I'm sure. Michelle. Daniel and Michelle, welcome to service. So, and hope to see you again. We also have time downstairs for Ellen, everything is downstairs now, right? Okay. We do have fellowship time, so welcome and come down. We're also wrapping gifts today for some kids that we have, that we do here today. So, all right. Bill.
This fall, the father of one of my students, Stephanie, passed away. This past week, she was studying for her final exam in my course. She got word that her mother had tried to commit suicide. And so I'd ask for prayers for both Stephanie and her mother.
Did Stephanie pass away or just her mother passed away?
No, her father had passed away and the mother attempted suicide.
Okay.
Morning, everybody. Just prayers for my sister. She was due last Sunday. She has not, so they're going to induce her tomorrow if she doesn't do that thing. So,
okay.
So I was walking to church this morning. I was thinking how lovely it is that all the sidewalks were cleared. And as I was walking down the street, 100 yards from the church, so a woman handed me a shovel, and she's like, can you help us shovel? And I'm like, well, I'm going to church. I'm late for church. She's like, well, pray for me. I'm like, that's a great idea. Why don't we pray for all of you people who are, making our way safe?
So she, do we know her name at all, or just said, all right, pray for the shoveler. Okay.
And I guess we would also pray to be shovel ready. I'm asking for prayers, continued prayers for my friend Becca. I think she is facing her last immunotherapy treatments for cancer, and then they'll decide if they're pleased with the results, and if not, it's more surgery and chemotherapy, and she's 22. So also her uncle had a disease where he was going to die. I'm sorry, I'm losing the word for it. and he killed himself. So, her parents, I just can't even imagine before the holidays, and for her uncle's family too. And also prayers for my friend Beth's sister, Wendy, as she continues her fight against breast cancer. Thanks.
Just prayers for everyone who's traveling for the holidays, just given these erratic weather conditions, that everything will be okay.
I'm glad you have returned to us also, Kevin.
I'd ask for prayers for my friends Nick and his wife Kate. Nick was involved in an accident last Wednesday where he was his car was totaled by a tractor trailer. Luckily, he walked away completely fine, but that was definitely a miracle. He slid on ice and ended up facing oncoming traffic, and he survived. However, his wife Kate has been struggling with vertigo, and she isn't able to drive right now, and their car is totaled. So prayers that she will get better, and prayers of gratitude that Nick is fine.
Okay.
Prayers for the people in the Middle East who are experiencing unseasonable cold. It's a really scary situation for a lot of the refugee communities, where the aid community just wasn't prepared for the snow and the level of cold that they've had over the last week. So prayers for the aid workers and prayers for the people in harm's way.
As mentioned last week, our family welcomed into this world Fiona Mary Landy. She was born 9 pounds, 1 ounce by cesarean. It was a little touch and go. There was some fluid in her lungs. Allison, the mother, had a dramatic drop in blood pressure, but they were well attended to at Mass General Hospital, and everyone's well and home. So welcome to Fiona Mary.
Fiona? Is it? Fiona with a F-I, okay.
I'd like to ask prayers for all the families who lost their children in Newtown 1 year ago yesterday, and also the teachers who were killed or harmed, and prayers that we find a solution to the gun violence in our society, and prayers of comfort to all those who mourn.
Just a prayers of gratitude as Diane and I were coming in and balancing stroller and gifts and veil. A woman, that complete stranger, noticed that we were having trouble and said, "Would you like help?" And at first, my pride was like, "Who is this woman?" And then I'm like, "No, we definitely need it." So she helped us get here safely. So thank you to her.
All right, an angel. All right. Well, let us, for all those prayers left unsaid, let us together say amen. Let us come before God in prayer. Gracious God, you've heard these prayers we ask. We lift them up in a special way now. We pray for Stephanie, who has lost her mother in such a tragic way. Please sustain her and help her to make sense of this somehow and help her to feel your comfort. We pray for Mark's sister that the birth of her child will go smoothly. We pray for Becca, who is in the last part of her treatments. May these treatments have gone well. May the doctors see real healing and real progress. We pray for her family also, who are experiencing another loss through her uncle. Gracious God, we pray for Wendy, who is battling breast cancer. Pray for healing with her. We pray for all those people in the Middle East who are working with refugees. May all the people, especially who are refugees, who are experiencing this unseasonably cold, may they survive and get the help they need. We pray for all those who are traveling during this season. May angels attend them. We thank you for the woman who is shoveling the sidewalk and asked for prayers. We ask that you bless her in special ways this week. We pray for the families who lost children and loved ones in the massacre in Newtown. How horrible it is that these things happen. Help our church to be a place where kids can be safe. Help our church to be a place that speaks out against violence and for peace. But please comfort these families in this unspeakable horror. We thank you for other angels who helped Salomar and Diane today, Diana. And we pray and we thank you for the angels that helped Nick survive a wreck this week. Pray that he and Kate will do well and that Kate will be able to get over the vertigo that she is experiencing. We thank you, Lord, for new life. We thank you for Craig's family and Fiona, the new baby. May she live a blessed life. May she experience your presence in wonderful, wonderful ways. Gracious God, help us as a church to be a church of peace with justice that reaches out to those in need around us and around the world. Continue to give us strength to do thy will in this place and help us to expand and deepen our commitment to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. May we continue in prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Announcements. No? No? Any announcements today? We're after church. We're having the we're wrapping the gifts, and today is the last day for the wraparound project. And so, if any of you are wanting to buy hats or gloves or anything, it's all the proceeds go to the Somerville Homeless Coalition. Am I correct in that? Right? And it's, so the door should be open, and you can go buy things in there. And they're doing that today. Finishing this up today. Go ahead, Randy.
I have an announcement. It's an immediate concern. The Somerville snow ban has been lifted on parking. And anyone who might have parked in the school lot or any other municipal lot has until 1 o'clock to move their car. Otherwise, it might be ticketed.
So yes, we got a little message right before the service that they were going to be clearing the lots at 1 o'clock over there. So if you parked up at Raymond Street lot, you know, I'll try to let you out before 1 o'clock today. So,
but you can now park on either side of the street.
Yeah, you can now park on either side of the street apparently after 11. So next week is the Good Cheer Festival. Do you want to say something about that? No.
Jason Anderson is coming back for his 7th year Good Cheer Festival. It's a family-friendly festival for everyone, all ages. He does a little carol sing, and he tells Christmas stories, and he's really entertaining. He gets a lot of his friends to come in and perform here. Some of them are performing stage plays and other things, and they do a great job. And Santa Claus shows up at the end and delivers candy to the kids. It's always a lot of fun.
So bring family and friends.
And there are refreshments. There's a contest for the best Christmas sweater.
Christmas sweater? Okay.
Which is often the most ridiculous Christmas sweater, but it's always a lot of fun. And all proceeds benefit the church.
All right. And at 6 o'clock, Melissa and I are having an open house or open manse, whatever you want to call it. Even visitors are welcome. Come and we'll just a drop-in kind of thing. We'll have various goodies, and you can see what work everybody did on the manse this last year in preparation for Melissa and I and Masebo coming. And you can get to see all of Masebo's playrooms. I don't know. There are infinite number of playrooms for Masebo. And we have like a Toys R Us warehouse there, I think, somehow. So, but anyway, you're all welcome to come before the Good Cheer Festival. Stop in. You know, don't have to show up at 6, but come as early or as late as you want during that time. Any other announcements here this week? All right. Is there a focus on mission this week? Okay.
Good morning. I'm here to talk about the Christmas joy offering that will be collected next week. This is a special offering that we collect every December, and it goes to support the Board of Pensions and racially diverse colleges and schools that are sponsored by the Presbyterian Church. I'm going to read you a little bit about one of the people and families who have benefited from our Christmas Joy offering. Jackie McCain met her husband while a member of the Presbyterian Church in Marion, Virginia. He was about to be ordained as a minister, and she remembers the first words she said to him. We were in line greeting him, and I said, "The Lord bless you." I didn't know then that I would later marry him, she said with a laugh. Meeting at church turned out to be prophetic for the pair. They married several years later in 1953 and spent 32 years together, following Ray's call to serve in churches both large and small. They raised 5 children and had a happy, faith-filled life together. Our home was filled with joy, music, and God, Jackie remembers. The children and Ray played the piano a lot and sang at home. It was a happy time. Ray gave the children catechism and then went to Sunday school. On Christmas, we even had the kids pick out presents for Jesus. But in 1985, Ray suffered a serious heart attack and passed away a few months later. It left Jackie with children still at home, barely scraping by. Ministers didn't get paid a lot in the 70s and 80s, Jackie says. But even when working, he was stressed a lot about bills and debts and college. After he died, I was barely making ends meet. 7 years after Ray passed away, Jackie came across an article in a General Assembly publication. In it, she learned about the Board of Pensions Income Supplement Program. She called the hotline and found the help she needed. Jackie remembers telling the man on the phone that she could never pay the money back. His response was simply that it was going to be okay. I nearly fainted. My mind went back to years earlier when we gave to that fund. She told us, I had no idea about the income supplement part, and I had no idea that it would someday help me. I was amazed at God's work. Your gifts to the Christmas Joy offering helps others like Jackie who depend on income supplement and other Board of Pension programs in their retirement. The Presbyterian Church helps those who have served. We go beyond our churches, Jackie says of the programs. I know in my heart that God was in it. The Board of Pensions and the assistance program are a rare blessing for me. My kids can see it in my face. I'm not worried anymore. Due to the Christmas Joy blessing, I can breathe easier and live a happier life. Please give generously next week when we make our collection. We appreciate your support, and thank you.
Let us now take up an offering for the work of this church and the church in the wider world. Sings out with joyful praise to God who raises me, who came to me when I was low and changed my destiny. The Holy One, the living God, is always full of grace. To those who seek their Maker's will in every time and the arm of God is strong and just to scatter all the proud. The tyrants tumble from their thrones and vanish like a cloud. The hungry all are satisfied, the rich are sent away. The poor of earth who suffer long will welcome God's name. So, but God bless you as we go through this week, some of you finishing up school perhaps for the semester as well. So now may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
To ages past at last has come to be. For God has come in power to save, to set all people free. Remembering those who wait to see salvation's dawn day, our Savior comes to all.